Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. Today is a special day for many reasons. One, the combine starting. But two, we have a special guest. Alex Lopez is with us again. She was with us a couple weeks ago. So many positive things. Appreciate everybody in the chat and emails and all the supporters reaching out. Alex, how are we doing today? And are you really excited about the combine?
We're doing so good, John. And yeah, I'm pretty excited. Something NFL going on. I can't be mad about it.
I'll take whatever I can get at this point. That is positive. And so, you know, I haven't had a chance really to talk about this yet, Alex. So let's dive into the dirt. Trent Williams news comes out about an hour before John Lynch has his press conference at the Combine, which every general manager usually has something going on there. And basically comes out saying, you know, there's no guaranteed money, possibility of releasing him if a deal can't get done. Then John Lynch gets up there and says, we want him here. He wants to stay here. We're confident we can get something worked out. But talk to me just about why 49ers fans cannot enjoy off seasons ever. It just has to have A-plus drama all the time. I feel like this is like, I don't know. Like, we're in like a Dawson's Creek episode or like some type of One Tree Hill. I don't know. I'm trying to give all the references for the like teenage drama shows. Yes. It's just always there. It's always there.
You know, and the thing is, too, it's like I got to a point where I was like, you know, I think we're okay. But mind you, I should have known, like, we're only a couple weeks into the offseason. Like, of course, something is going to happen. It's just so frustrating that we cannot have. It feels like one off season without no drama.
Yeah, it's all. And I mean, it started with the Keon White, you know, shooting incident. And it was just like, what? Like at a party? Come on, man. And now you've got the Trent Williams. Now, let me say this. This is my kind of take on the whole Trent Williams thing. I don't think he's going anywhere. But the thing that Trent Williams loves more than almost anything is money. And he is about to pass Khalil Mack for the most paid all time in NFL history, non-quarterback position. I already made over $200 million, but he's about to surpass that. I think they'll work something out. The problem with this contract is he's 38.
Yeah.
And there's already void years built onto this contract. So, like, there's already dead money afterwards. So how much further can you push that dead money into the future? I think something does get worked out. I don't see Trent going anywhere. I mean, you had John Lynch talking about how you need to have Trent Williams' name in the rafters, right? Like, if he leaves the Niners – that's going to mess with that. I don't think it's in Trent's best interest, the 49ers' best interest. There's no way he's going anywhere. And on top of that, they still have him under contract for a year. There's no guaranteed money. I don't think Trent plays on that. But you kind of control the situation if you're the Niners. You don't have to let him go. You have him under contract. I don't want to see Trent retire. But, yeah, let's get this dude locked up. Like, come on. He's going to be first ballot Hall of Famer. I want him with the Niners. Now, here's my question for you, Alex. Mm-hmm. Trent Williams played 10 years for Washington. He's only played 6 years for the 49ers. Now, he left Washington with, you know, he had the brain cancer and all that kind of stuff and not good terms at all. Will Trent retire a 49er or will he retire a commit? He was there for a decade. They're the ones that drafted him.
I would hope. Okay, of course, as a Niner fan, I'm like, okay, please retire right. Niner. That'd be awesome. I don't know. I feel like he left the Commanders and it wasn't a happy ending there. So I think he would, just because also he's like very close with, I think, Kyle and the Niners, and he has that, I don't know, dynamic with them. So I think that's the other thing about this too, is like, I try to keep that in mind, but it's also hard not to freak out too. And I feel like it's just with the reports that come out and the wording that they use that makes fans like me kind of go like, oh crap, like are the Niners going to release him? What's going to happen?
That would be the worst. If you traded him, I could deal with that. Like, I don't want that. If he retired, even like, it's almost like, well, if we can't have him, nobody can. like, and I know that's like really pity and whatever, like shallow of me, but I feel that way. Releasing him and allowing him to go sign, like, that is just no, you cannot allow that to take place. So Trent's going to be here. I believe that it's going to be drama. It's going to something that's going to take some time. It's just what it is to get that worked out, because it's such a strange contract. And you remember the last time it came all the way down to the end of training camp, and he had his worst year with the 49ers. And his six seasons with the Niners, he's been an All-Pro four times. He's been a Pro Bowler five times. The only year that he had kind of a bad year was the year he did hold out till the end. So you're hoping he comes back. You're hoping he's out there. All those things. Anyway, anything else you want about the Trent? Want to say about the Trent Williams situation before we move on?
I mean, just to follow up with what you said, I just hope we get it done quickly, because it tends to happen with like all the players that we go through these like contract drama, you know, sagas with. It's like they hold out until training camp and then they go into the season and it's a mess. So let's get this done so soon.
I'm ready to just be done with it. And I do have to apologize. I didn't even do a good job of properly introducing Alex. For those of you who don't know, you've got to follow Alex Lopez on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Which one do you think you spend the most time on? I'm a Twitter guy. That's probably where I go to first and foremost. But which one do you like your go-to? Which one do you post first? I'm just curious.
See, it used to be Twitter. It used to be Twitter, but I feel like now I am an Instagram girly. But I still, you know me, I still love Twitter. I still love messing with Rams fans. It's like my favorite thing in the world to do on Twitter.
There's been some very entertaining interactions, I will say. Your gift game is on point, which is the nicest compliment I could ever give to anybody. But follow Alex on Instagram and TikTok at Zpolila. That's Zepolila. And then you can follow her on Twitter at Alexandra Lopez. And there's two N. So Alexandra, N-N-D, then Alexandra Lopez. Spelling out loud is like the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, I swear. I probably shouldn't tell this story, but anyway, I want to tell this story anyway. I went from in middle school, like I could not spell and read very well. I didn't know dyslexia was a thing, whatever else. And so I was like in all the special classes, which were fine. And then we took a math test and I did really, really well. So I went from the special classes to the honors classes overnight, and it was not good. I struggled big time, but anyway, spell it. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to subject everybody to that. Now, you came up with this idea, Alex, so I want to give you just kind of props here, and I want you to introduce this. You talked about a draft kind of 101, teach about the draft situation as the combine starts today. So kind of lead us into this segment and some of your thoughts or questions that you have on that, and we're just going to kind of dissect the 49ers draft and the NFL draft overall.
Okay, so my thought process about this, and I thought John is the perfect teacher to kind of help me through this. And I'm sure other Niner fans or NFL fans in general feel this way too. Sometimes I get so lost with the process of the draft and people ask me about my mock drafts and this and that. I'm not a college football girly. And it's always just been because I'm like, say I really like a player and I think he should be on the Niners and I really want him to come or whatever. And then the Niners don't draft them. And they go to the Packers or to the Cowboys. And I'm like, man, I don't want to root for that guy. Shoot. So I think, but the thing is, like, it gets to the point where I'm like, no, I need to learn. I want to learn about this. So I was like, who's the number one person who can teach me this? I think John is.
That is very kind. And I love the draft. My very first episode was the very first draft before during the Kyle Shanahan just got hired. So 2017, we've been doing this for a long time. This is starting year 10 for us, the 49ers Rush podcast. This is episode number 1612, which is ridiculous. Very, very thankful for that. And so like the draft is a big deal to me. I remember being very, very young and having to switch from ESPN to ESPN2 and following all the draft picks and all that kind of stuff. Like I don't know why. There's just something in my brain where this syncs up with however my brain does work. And so this is my favorite time of year. Like I love it when the 49ers are playing, obviously, but I was the type of kid whenever I would buy Madden or whatever else, I would simulate the entire season, go to the offseason just so I could draft and scout and kind of build the roster and all that kind of stuff, the mad scientist, whatever. So with the NFL draft, it all starts today. The combine is going on, and this is where 300-plus players come in and get measured, tested, medicals. They go out there, they run the 40, which is probably the most popular, all these different things. But as we're starting to see, if you're following, you know, Adam Schefter or any of the whatever people on, you know, Twitter, the measurements are a big deal. And the end all be all, and we always get away from this, is the tape. How good somebody looks on tape, how they play, all those things. But the measurements matter. They really, really do. Arm length and height and weight and all these things matter. It's a big deal. And so, like, for example, Logan, appreciate the comment here. Omar Cooper and Cassius Howell, I'm watching closely today. So, like, if you don't know who these players are, all right, cool. Well, Omar Cooper Jr., he's a wide receiver. Cassius Howell's an edge rusher. Cassius Howell had one of the shortest arms in the history of the combine measured this morning. This was somebody that, you know, edge player, 49ers need edge rushers. But the problem is he was going to be going in the 20s. Now, after this measurement, I don't think he does. So for the 49ers picking at number 27 overall in the first round, Cassius Howell is now a very legitimate possibility of somebody that could be on the board. I didn't think that he would be. He was not somebody I was going to include in my breakdowns because I thought he would be gone. So these measurements matter to certain teams. And there's something I'm going to say probably, you know, 20 times this month. The 49ers are not a traits-based drafting team. They're a threshold team. Well, what do I mean by that? Go back to Trent Baalke, and when the old 49ers general manager. If you didn't have 34-inch arms at any position, he wasn't drafting you. Cassius Howell, Trent Baalke would have never scouted. The 49ers, they will now. So they like to have that length and that size and all that stuff. You look at Javon Kinlaw, you look at Nick Bosa, you look at Mikael Williams. Like, all these guys are big, strong, with very long arms and length. Cassius Howell doesn't fit that, but his tape is incredible. So just as an example there, Logan, I do like that question. And right here, Daddy Wolf says, John, what do you think of Markell Ball and Inez Cooper as possible picks? Just curious about them. So, like, I like both of them, but I haven't gotten to either of them as far as their film. We're still working just on the whole idea of, you know, just compiling data. So I don't want to, like, lie, and I don't want to just give somebody else's opinion. So I'm going to add those, Mr. Wolf, sir, to my notes, and I'm going to be able to get back those to you once we have a much better understanding of those. But I don't want to give out bad opinions or somebody else's opinion. So that's kind of a big deal for me. Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams, and the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to MyBookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs. Make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie. The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Real quick, Yasik, my man. For those of you who don't know, Yasik's been one of our biggest supporters here on the 49ers Rush for a long time. He says, currently in the hospital with his dad. Please send prayers our way. We need them right now. His name is Henrik. Just want to say we love you, man. We are with you. We hope all is well. You know, it's sad whenever these horrible things happen like this. And just want to let you know we love you, man. And we are there with you. And just shoot me a text if you need to, man. Well, I'll take time. We'll talk later, brother. But love you, man. And sorry for the fam and all those things. All right, Alex, let's get back to kind of the draft and the combine. When you watch the combine or you see all these different, you know, highlights and whatever else, what kind of stands out to you as something that's like, all right, what the hell is happening here? Or I really enjoy this aspect of the combine.
Oh, man. See, that's another thing is like I'll see like clips on Twitter of like a certain player running, you know, a certain amount of distance or the jump test or all these things. And I'm like, wait, what? Okay. Certain players, I'm like, okay, I get it. But I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I'm very lost.
Yeah, and so, like, everything that they do, right, the 40-yard dash is about speed. And, like, I'll say this. The 40-yard dash is important for corners and wide receivers for sure. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to the 10-yard split, which doesn't get near as much notoriety, right? So the 40-yard dash, whatever else, the 10-yard split is just those very first 10, whatever. That's all about how fast a player is at the start. The 49ers love this. Offensive lineman, you want under 1.72. For defensive lineman, under 1.70. If you see those numbers, the 49ers highlight those players. They draft those players. You're talking about the vertical where the guy stands still, jumps up, and hits the sticks. What that measures is explosiveness in the lower body. So if you could jump and you can get a large vertical based on your weight and all that, whatever else, that's just a measure for, one, how hard you hit, how explosive you are, all those different things. You know, the broad jump where they stand still and jump as far as they can and they put the ruler behind their feet, same thing, explosive lower body. And so a lot of times your corners and wide receivers and whatever else, they'll be really, really good at it. The Niners like those drills. They really, really do. And so, yeah, jumping's important, speed's important, all that. But what you're trying to measure is the athleticism and explosive rate that these players play with. And usually, if players are really bad at one or two of those, that means they're not workout-type guys. The 49ers value players that love football. If you love football, you're a gym rat. And so if you go out there and you have a poor vertical or you have a bad broad jump or you don't have a good 10-yard split, for the 49ers, they're just like, does this guy love football? If he's not going to spend time in the weight room during college, how is he going to spend weight room, you know, time in the weight room? Like, people have talked about Nick Bosa, and you look at his quads and just how jacked that dude is all the time. You've had 49ers players say Nick Bosa works out 5 to 6 times a week in season. You got to get these guys that love it. So the metrics that come across in the vertical, the broad jump, all those jump tests, the speed tests, all that, it's just another metric to measure how much this guy loves football. That is kind of, you know, premium. And, you know, one of the phrases you'll hear a lot, Alex, in the draft conversations with mock drafts, go BPA, best player available. It doesn't matter what positions you need, go best player available. The Niners don't do that. They do not. They draft need. You get rid of Emmanuel Sanders in 2019, you draft Brandon Ayuk. You get rid of DeForest Buckner, you draft Javon Kinlaw. Maybe they didn't work out, but it didn't matter. The 49ers draft need, especially in rounds 1 and 2. Now, let me ask you this, Alex. Where are the 49ers notoriously very good at drafting? What rounds? Is it the early rounds or is it the late rounds? It's always the late rounds. You got George Kittle. You got, you know, Debo. You got Hufanga. You got Greenlaw. You got go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Well, they changed their approach later where they will draft best player available in the 3rd, 4th, 5th rounds, which is kind of what they're picking, you know, this year. That's kind of the stock of their draft because they have, you know, multiple fourth round picks. So we'll have to see what that looks like. But yeah, mock drafts. Do you get really into the mock drafts? Do you pay attention whenever? Like, there's two types of Niners fans. There's the ones that love it and can't get enough, and there's the ones that just like keep me the hell away.
Keep me the hell away. I like looking at other people's because it gives me an opportunity to check out, like, let me see this player and see what's going on. But other than that, myself, I'm like, nah, nothing.
Yeah, here. It's, I love doing it because one, I'm sick in the head. But like, it's fun. And probably the most common critique is like, man, we do all this time, but they don't even draft any of the players. And I'm like, well, hold on. We nailed three in our final mock draft last year. We got Mikael Williams, we got CJ West, we got Alfred Collins. So like, I feel like we did pretty good last year. We'll see how it goes this year because there's just a lot of variety. It's a lot easier to predict the 11 overall pick than the 27 overall pick because there's just so much variance that could take place in 26 picks before the 49ers. So let's get real back just to a couple more draft 101 kind of topics for the 49ers that I think are a big deal. Because in a lot of the mock drafts going on right now, teams are Mel Kiper, Bucky Brooks. I think I even saw, was it Charles? Charles Davis. They had the 49ers taking tight end Kenyon Sadiq in the first round, pick number 27. Now, I'm like, hold the hell on. The Niners don't ever draft tight ends early. Cam Latu was the first tight end they ever drafted early in the third round. Now, you've had George Kittle, who they got in the fifth round, and he's, you know, a Hall of Famer. But they don't draft small guys. Kenyon Sadiq might be 6'3". They've never drafted anybody lower than 6'4", 6'5", at the tight end position. So I just don't really see it. Now, my question to you, Alex, what position do you think is the biggest weakness for the 49ers? Because we've already established where they have a need, that's where they go early. So in your opinion, what's the biggest positional need or weakness on the team currently?
The need is always, to me, the trenches. I'm always going offensive line, defensive line. Will they listen to me? I don't know.
They should. Because I think everybody kind of agrees, and I want to see everybody kind of put in the chat what position you think is the biggest need. Now, they love defensive linemen, edge, defensive tackle. There's a lot of those guys. John Lynch even said yesterday, like, you know, or 2 days ago, a lot of people don't like our offensive line. We do. I don't think that that's good. Now, the Trent news kind of affects that a little bit.
Yeah.
But I would not be upset if they went O-line or D-line, like you said, trenches. Would you be upset if they go wide receiver in the first round, Alex?
I don't think so, because I also think that's like a need. Do I think it's a – I think it's on the top of the list for priorities for sure. So I don't think I would be mad. It's just we've been traumatized too many times with these early wide receivers that I'm kind of like, not that I don't love Ricky. I really hope he has a breakout year next year, but I think I'm just a little cautious about it.
Yeah, and I think you talked about, like, because of the past. Like, we all have trauma. The 49ers haven't drafted offensive tackle in four consecutive drafts. They haven't drafted a center in over a decade. You know, Ricky Pearsall was a first-round pick just 2 years ago, and that was when you were paying Ayuk, when you were paying Debo, when you were paying Juwan Jennings. Now it looks like all three of those guys are gone. There's issues there. And so I think we, as 49ers fans, get upset because we just watched the Seattle Seahawks kind of dominate the 49ers offensive line 2 out of 3 weeks. And it was just like, man, maybe you want to get better there, but it's not really the 49ers construct. It's not in their blueprint. They think they're fine. Look at Terror. Shout out to Terror Dome. Everybody go check out his channel if you haven't already. He is awesome. It's been offense since 21. They're going to get punters and holders. I love it. I love it. I love it. But, yeah, you need wide receiver, you need O-line, you need D-line. It's rough there. It just really is rough there. So, all right, let's get to – I just brought up Brandon Ayuk, and I apologize. There was a comment or it kind of went viral. There was, like, a parody account that tagged Brandon Ayuk and was like, this is – it looked like him, it resembled him, and it kind of took off and ran. Can you kind of outline that? I want to talk about this because – you're a positive person. I would like to think that I am somewhat of a positive person. Mm-hmm. talk to us about just negativity, social media, and kind of what happened there.
So when I first saw it, I went on my morning newspaper, which is Twitter, and I see a bunch of tweets from a lot of like 49er accounts that I like go to, that I, you know, trust, whatever. And even they were kind of like, oh, this is Brandon Ayuk. And everybody in the comments was like, no, it's not. And it was just like this whole like crazy mess going on. And I knew it wasn't him when I saw it. I was like, this is, but to me, I was like, this is weird that notable Niner accounts are like going off on it. And then, you know, how Twitter has the, you know, thing at the bottom now that lets
community,
you know,
notes.
The community notes that let you know it's not real. And it took a minute for them to put that there. And I was like, I wish they would have done that earlier so we could avoid this mess. But I feel like nowadays it's so common, and not just with the Niners, just in the NFL in general, you have these parody accounts that are supposed to be NFL insiders and say these things and people believe in and go off on their own tangents, and it turns into this crazy, crazy mess. So, you know, and there have been times where I've even like fell for it and my brothers had to be like, Alex, that's not real. So, you know, it's just crazy nowadays that that's kind of like a part of it. And that Brandon Ayuk thing was crazy. I was like,
And I talk about on the show a lot, like, protect your fandom. And like, when people show you who they are, like, believe them. And I like that way for accounts too. I have so many accounts blocked or muted just because, like, I am here. I'm not here to trash on anybody. Obviously, I'm not a Brandon Ayuk fan. What has happened there? And, you know, we bring this up because John Lynch just talked about when the new league year starts, they're going to be releasing them unless somebody wants to trade for them. But the time for BA with the 49ers is done. He'll never play on this team again, which I think I'm glad that that's done. However, the negativity, and again, like, you pair that with, you know, kind of what's happened with, you know, Rondale Moore, whose life just ended. You don't know what people are going through off the field.
Yeah.
And so there's no necessary whatever to pile on even more whenever it's fake on top of that. So trust where you get your information from, on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, wherever. And understand whenever it, like, there's already people out there putting, you know, oh, the 49ers that are talking about a trade with this player and this player. And they're from accounts that lied about so much stuff in the past. Mm-hmm. And so whenever those accounts come up, man, yeah, block, mute, whatever. Don't allow that back into, because that just affects your fandom and it just gets gross.
Yeah.
Social media can be a good thing. Most often it's not. Yeah. So just, I don't know. Put those guardrails up for yourself, in my own, like, what, that's just kind of what I recommend. And then on the flip side of this, another 49ers wide receiver just recently, Kendrick Bourne, in like true KB fashion, he puts out a video asking fans to grade him on his season, which is awesome. And KB is always like so light of heart and just wonderful and just smiles and always great. What are your thoughts on that and kind of how to participate in a constructive way without it kind of getting into that toxic whatever?
Yeah, see, that's the thing too, is like, I tried, like you said, I try to be a positive person. So I saw it and I was like, oh, this could be like a way to get constructive criticism. But there is there's a side of it that is like so much negativity. And it happens with a team that like the Niners has been so close to winning and so close to getting that Super Bowl. But there's a lot of negativity to it. And I know that when I saw it, that was a thought that popped into my mind. And it makes you feel bad for the players too. But there's also that balance of like, okay, what is better for my team? What, you know, what type of, do I want KB to come back next year? I don't know. And then it's also caring about the personality and the person as well, because at the end of the day, these players are human beings. So, you know, I saw it and I kept going back and forth about it. And I know he meant it like in a lighthearted way. Like, I know he meant it to also get that constructive criticism. So, you know, I don't know if all of the players should be doing that.
No, I yeah. And I, you know, if I was an agent or a father of a player or whatever, I'd tell him just don't be on social media. Like, mm-hmm. it is not even me. Like, it's hard to read comments. You know, I remember whenever I first started, I was like, I'm going to respond to every comment, every email. And I try really, really hard. And I even have to pay people to help me do that because I just don't have time to do it, which is awesome. And that's a wonderful, like, humble brag, I guess, or whatever. Like, I'm very proud of that. But man, you get stuff on physical appearance. You get people talking about your family. You get death threats. You get all kinds of crazy. And I'm just like, dude, we're a positive Niner show. Like, yeah, I can't imagine what the athletes go through.
Yeah.
And shout out to Rusty here. He says, our first comment should always be concern for the young person. Hate is for simple minds. I freaking love that. Empathy is a big deal. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. And, you know, even yesterday, I put out something on Renardo Green because he's being rumored in several different things about being traded out. And Kyle Shanahan has made it very well known, is screaming at him on the sidelines and all that kind of stuff. And so, like, I made a post that had a negative context to it, talking about how he's a good player. He's a perfect scheme fit, but the football IQ may have worn his welcome out. And I got a lot of pushback, and maybe that's something, I don't know, looking in the mirror, do it. Like, I don't know the balance. I want to be a football guy. Renardo Green's awesome. But the questionable decisions he makes on the field, am I allowed to critique that?
Right.
Or is that, or am I now part of the toxic whatever? I don't know the balance there, Alex.
Yeah. No, it's tough too. And even like, that's the thing too. I feel this way about Jake Brendel specifically right now. And it's like, I'm sure he's a great guy. They love him. Kyle loves him. You know, he keeps his guys close. That's great. That's awesome. Watching him play is very, sometimes it's a little, and so you want to like, be like, oh my gosh, you're driving me crazy. Like, you need, what's going on here? And you know, it's hard to have that balance of like, okay, I want to give him some constructive criticism, but also at the same time, I don't want to be taken as like, oh, I'm hating on this guy just for hating on him.
I don't know what to do because like, I've always wanted to, like, I go back to this, like, okay, whenever I coached, would I say this to a player? Would I say that to his face? If it's going to make him better, that's my job. So what's my job now as a podcaster or whatever the hell I do here? Like, my job is to show film and to teach film and try to show the fans this is what is good and what is bad. And there's so much bad.
Yeah.
And so, like, I put out clips where he's just standing around watching his teammates play. And then people start coming at me like, dude, why do you hate this guy? And I was like, I don't hate the guy. Like, I just wish something would change. And then you hear, you know, Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch, and they know way more than me. I completely agree. But the fact they've never criticized him just stopping and watching people play football in the middle, like, that's crazy. And so I don't know. And hopefully, as long as, you know, we're still holding those things in tension and struggling with those things, I think that's a good thing. I would hate to get to the point where we're just trash and crap all over these human beings like it doesn't matter. And there are people that do that.
Yes, there are.
And I hope that we never get to that. But I don't know. So y'all just be patient with us because I don't want to ever be negative to affect somebody in a negative way. I'm sure I have done that and I apologize for that, but I'm just going to try to get better with that, I guess. I don't know. So all that to say, however you guys comment, watch, participate, just remember these are humans. And at the end of the day, this is grown men throwing a ball around. It's not worth going after family members and telling them they suck and all that. Like, what good does that do? I don't know. Anyway, take that for whatever Logan. He says you got nothing to apologize for.
Future, when my mom, I'm recording her screaming at Jake Brendel, because I think everybody, you should know that that will probably happen next season.
It will, and I can't wait for it because I love your mother. She is one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life, and she just makes me smile the whole freaking time I'm around her. So shout out to her. She's incredible. All right, now speaking of road trips, let's talk about the Mexico game. I want you to kind of set this up, and what are your thoughts there? And yeah.
You know, I really want to go. I've been telling this to so many people in my life and on social media, and I went on live the other day on Instagram and I said this, I have the travel bug now. And I thank you for that. I can't help it. So I really want to go to the Mexico game. I'm curious to see who we're going to play. I saw that it's not going to be the Raiders probably, which I'm excited about, but also I think, you know, the fights that are going to happen at Levi's Stadium are going to be insane. So who knows, but I'm seeing that it's probably going to be a division rival. So the Rams, Cardinals, or Seahawks, I think.
I would be totally cool with that. I want Philly. Yeah, I do. I feel like that would be a pretty cool. Yeah, I think that would be fun. A lot of it's two of my closest friends are Philly fans, and so they probably come down with me. So I'm just kind of being selfish there. Yeah. But I'm pretty excited. And yeah, it was the Cardinals last time, which I was there for, and that was really, really cool. And so like the international crowd, and I'll say this all the time, Super Bowls are cool. International games are 100 times better. And like the Mexico City game was incredible because all 32 teams were represented at some point. Like it's not just 49ers and Cardinals fans. Like there were more Cowboys fans than Cardinals fans there. There were more Raiders fans than Cardinals fans there. 49ers definitely had the most.
Yeah.
But it's just such a cool, it has this feeling almost like going to the draft where all the fans are together and it's not so much they're rooting against each other. It is this just really cool, like you're at a concert or you're at the draft where everybody is just together and they do the songs and they like, it is just, it's such a beautiful thing. So like, yeah, Australia, Mexico, the fact that we get two games this year is kind of crazy. And the good news, I think I saw somebody put this quote in there. Oh man, I'm going to mess it up. Oh, dang it. But they said that the league office is trying to give the 49ers a little bit of a break down the stretch of the schedule, which would be huge. Yeah. It's not finalized yet, all those things, but the Niners could use any break that they can get because they're breaking the record for most miles traveled ever in the NFL by any team. What are your thoughts on that?
It's unbelievable, actually. Like, honestly, I'm like, of course the 49ers are the team to do that. It makes sense to be in that way. But I just also feel like them getting a break during that home stretch would be huge for them because they need it. I could only imagine, like, just traveling in terms of, like, regulars, you know, throughout the state. I mean, throughout the states. Is a lot. Like it takes a toll. So I could, and playing the game. So I can only imagine having to go to Australia and Mexico and dealing with that is just like going to be insane. I feel bad for the players because they're probably going to be exhausted.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I will say this, like flying to Mexico City was relatively easy. Like that's not a fun, it's a little further than Houston. Wasn't really too bad. Now, Melbourne, that's a whole nother thing, but for and I keep getting asked this, like details will be posted. We are putting together travel packages to Australia and to Mexico. Now Australia will include flights from SFO and LAX, hotels, game tickets, all that stuff will be included. We're just waiting on the dates to be set before we put those out there, because depending on when the game is, that adds a ridiculous amount of money based on flights or takes away. So, you know, we're just waiting. I don't like dealing in hypotheticals. And for Mexico, we're going to be putting together hotel packages, game day ticket packages, transportation to and from the stadium, tailgate, all that stuff, just no flights. And again, we're waiting on those dates. So just stay tuned and you can follow me on Twitter, you know, at @JL_Chapman or our podcast as soon as the schedule comes out on those dates, which usually the NFL brings those dates out a lot earlier than they do the rest of the schedule. So early May, right after the draft, is when the schedule will be released. I anticipate them announcing some of these kind of dates right after the draft or right before the draft, April. So we're still a month or two out on that. But as soon as they come out, trust me, we're going to have it covered for you. Now, Melbourne's not cheap. I mean, just flying out there is over $1,000. Like, that's a lot. But we're trying to mitigate costs, keep people together, and try to keep this like, hey, I'm only going to Australia one time in my life. I want to make sure we're going to have a good time. So that's what we're trying to build out towards. We'll kind of see. Do you have any games circled for the schedule, road games that you're hoping to go to?
Definitely Dallas. I want to go to Jerry's World so, so bad. You might convince me on Kansas City. You might have to convince me.
You got to get the barbecue. It's the best barbecue, man. I grew up in Texas, and I did grad school in Kansas City. I'm a big KC guy.
Yeah. So maybe then. And a couple of my friends are trying to convince me to go to New York at MetLife, which I don't know. I feel like I'm such a California girl. Like, I don't know where the East Coast.
That's a long trip. It's not Melbourne, but not, man, Melbourne. We did New York last year and it wore me out. I might do New York this year. We got to see how the schedule goes, but right now it's not at the top of my list. But yeah, Dallas, 100%, Atlanta, I got family out there. I got to go. Kansas City, those three, I 100% am doing those no matter when they are, plus the two international. That's five. Goodness. The whole goal was to do less traveling this year, and the NFL said not so fast. But that's okay. It's
okay. It's going to be amazing. I already know. That's why I'm like, okay, I need to go to all these games because it's just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm pumped. So, Alex, go ahead real quick. Just tell us where we can follow you, where we can support you, where we can find your content before we get out of here.
Yeah. So, like John said earlier, follow me on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter. Those are the three that I'm on. I'm considering doing a YouTube channel.
Uh-oh. Heck yes.
I'm yes. thinking about it. So, we'll see. But for now, those are just the three social media platforms that I'm on.
There we go. Everybody go check her out. Follow her. She's incredible, positive, entertaining, and loves the 49ers like we all do. Now, I do have some kind of bad news. I leave out of the country tomorrow. So I'm getting 2 weeks vacation this year. This is my first week of vacation. It's during the combine, so you guys are going to have plenty to talk about. So I apologize for leaving the fans during this time. But I'll be back. And then once I get back, it's 100% draft work. Until the draft, so we're going to have you guys covered for that. So apologies for if some breaking news happens. I paid for the data plan. I'm not sure how that's going to go on the cruise ship. I don't know if it will support a live show, but if something breaking happens and the 49ers do a trade or something crazy, whatever. I'll be there sunburned in the hot tub talking mess about the 49ers with a Modelo in my hand. It'll be a fun time. So, Alex, just want to say thank you again. Really appreciate all that you do for the community. And, you know, everything we're trying to do here is prop up quality humans that bring quality content. You are 100% those. So we'll have Alex back on sometime next month. We'll figure schedules out there. And we're going to wait for her to start a YouTube channel because that is what we all need. We need more Alex Lopez in our lives. So we've got to get that done. So, Alex, thank you so much for your time. Everybody, you're incredible. Enjoy the combine. Have some fun. Pick out your favorite future 49ers. And until next time, stay strong, faithful. We're out.